It's a beautiful thing sometimes to take a few moments in your mind and to picture Thanksgiving throughout the ages of this land. Whether it was the pilgrims who came over and that first Thanksgiving that they had survived and made it, whether it's looking on ahead to maybe a picture of Norman Rockwell, right? Gathered on that perfect table and everyone dressed just right and that most beautiful golden turkey. Or maybe the picture is of the different eras and ages of your life when you gathered as a child around the table with your family, whether it is, maybe as a young adult in the family you married into, and maybe with your children, and now, maybe with grandchildren and your family changing. It's a beautiful picture, but at the heart of each and every one of those, I pray that the reason we gather remains the same. It is to give thanks. But I said this to Martha earlier today when we were out on a walk together. I think for a lot of people, what seems to have happened to some extent in our society is we are thankful, but we don't direct that thanks to anyone or anything in specific. Think about it. Think about some people you know, and they're celebrating Thanksgiving, and life is good, right? It's kind of like sometimes I take people on a mission trip, and one of their first reactions is, man, we are so blessed. But I pray it never stops there. See, what happens is we begin to somehow just like, yeah, I'm blessed, aren't I? But we're not directing it and defining, but who's that provider? Who's that giver? And it is indeed, as I said when I opened, making reference to that scripture from the book of James, chapter 1, verse 17, that the Lord himself is indeed the giver of all good gifts. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. I pray tonight, and I pray tomorrow, and as I said in that opening prayer, I pray that we as a people would begin to live a lifestyle of thanksgiving. More like Paul's talking about as he is writing about, be thankful always. No matter what you're in, no matter the fears, no matter the terrors, no matter the circumstances, no matter what tomorrow holds, be thankful always. There was a story about a woman who had a coffee break, and her office was right next to the mall, so she would often find her way at the food court, and there she went, and she went to the, the Mrs. Fields cookie place and bought a bag of like five little cookies. That was her treat that every once in a while she would kind of splurge on for herself. And she bought the cookies and she dropped them in her bag, and then she went and she got a cup of coffee. And she found a table and she sat down and she began to read the magazine she brought, just trying to enjoy this bit of personal time, this time of just, relaxing and enjoying a little bit of the day. Well, across from her at this table was a man who was sitting, and he was reading his paper, and she didn't really pay any attention. And before she knew it, she noticed that he reached out, and he took a cookie out of a bag. And she's like, well, that's really strange. And it really kind of bothered her, but she didn't want to say anything, cause a scene or something, so she just kind of went on, and she reached out, and she had a cookie, and he kind of looked at her and nodded. And then, keeps reading her magazine, and, a few minutes later, guess what this guy does? He reaches out, and he grabs another cookie. And now she's really beginning to get a little steamed. Here I am, I'm enjoying my, you know, my break, and this guy is eating my cookies, but she doesn't say anything. And she reaches out, and she takes another one, keeps drinking her coffee, trying to let this go and relax. And then guess what he does? He reaches out, and he takes the last cookie. And she's like, are you kidding to herself? But the guy, he's a gentleman, because what he does is he breaks the cookie and he offers her half. And at that, she's like, no, thank you. Even though they were my cookies, she's thinking to herself. Well, a few minutes later, the guy gets up, he grabs his newspaper and, you know, says, has a good day, and she just kind of nods. And then she notices, well, listen, my break's about over. I need to get back to work. And guess what? She puts her magazine in her bag, and there's her bag of cookies. Her whole break had been ruined by her perception. Now, I got to tell you, this is the reason I like this story is, to me, it's somewhat indicative, or at least it makes me think about how well God treats me, how he provides for me abundantly, and yet how often, how ungrateful I am. We just take for granted a little bit that whatever it is that we rely upon, whatever it is that we love and enjoy, we go forward with this assumption that it's always going to be there. And even with that potentially being true in so many ways with God, but we do so and we don't turn to him and offer him our thanks. A praise. I still wrestle after 54 years with this gospel reading from Luke. How can you not say thank you? How can you not, you know, literally bow down before the one who's taken you from being ostracized from society, rejected, put off into basically a colony, and now healed you? And yes, they were obedient to what he said, go and show yourself, but can't you start by at least saying thank you? It's like me as a kid, you know, getting something that I really wanted, and I'm like, hey, I'm out of here. I'm going to go show my friend Stevie. And I can tell you right now, if that was my first response to my parents, that gift probably would have been put away for a little while. I still wrestle at times with this gospel reading. My sense is we end up doing somewhat what the people of Israel do that is addressed in this reading we have from Deuteronomy chapter 8. My power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wealth. Verse 11, you may say to yourself, my power and strength, my hands have produced this wealth for me. It's true, isn't it? We worked hard. You know, we've earned it. We deserve it. But whose is it in the first place? Where did it all come from? It comes from the Lord. Any of you ever been schooled by somebody? You know that phrase? It's where somebody teaches you kind of a lesson. They kind of call you out on something. They kind of, you know, you're like, oops, you know, I've been schooled. It's kind of like saying I've been busted, I've been caught. Those of us who have spouses or siblings, people that know us best, they're some of the best ones at schooling us. So Martha has been very good in a number of things of teaching me, schooling me. And one of the ones that stands out in relationship to this is how I should speak to our girls as they were growing up. My nature was a little bit more like my father. It was very clear, very direct, don't do that. There was always kind of that somewhat negative context. Martha's was always, and she would regularly correct me until, well, at least I began to do it somewhat. I still wrestle with it. But it was more of the positive of what you can do. And maybe that's what stifles us. We get to praise God. We get to thank Him. We get to acknowledge that all we have, all that we are, it's His. But He's given it to us. This service is about praising our Creator, God. And I was drawn to that word because, and we're going to use it in a few minutes as our profession of faith from the explanation to the first article of the Creed. But remember, we refer to God first as Father, the one who made us, the one who provides for us, and the one who continues to provide for our every need. It should just come somewhat naturally to recognize all that we have has come from our Creator God. And as a dad who loves his girls and as parents who and grandparents who love their children, you know what this is like. You love them always. We may not always love what they do, but we will always be theirs, their parents, their grandparents, whatever that relationship is. And so it's appropriate for us then to remember and to turn and acknowledge that, again, that word that I was drawn again to today from James, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. And I can't ignore Paul's words here. I didn't Google it. I mean, you can almost find everything Googling, right? I mean, you and I grew up where the Bible was the answer book, but not anymore. It's just Google it. You'll find the answer to everything. But here's what I was wondering. What percentage of Americans are content? What percentage of us are truly content? I think, unfortunately, that idea of being content is bound to, do I have enough and do I have what I want? Rather than, again, trying to go with the positive, right? Rather than, do I have what I need? I do. I have a God who knows all my earthly needs, and that He meets. I need not worry. He says, do not worry about tomorrow. Why? Because He will provide. And I have a God who has already assured me of the life and the forgiveness that is mine through the waters of baptism, the working of God's Spirit, my faith, my relationship to Jesus Christ. Where's contentment comes from? Paul says, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or want. I can do all this through him, through Christ, who gives me strength. You know, if you and I were to wake up every day and begin with a word of praise and thanks, how it would change our lives. And how it would overflow from us in thanksgiving into the lives of those around us. And how it would bring such joy and pleasure to the heart of our God and Father, our Creator, who gives us all that we need and so much more. May we praise him. Amen.